Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk. It's a show where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari in Washington. Tonight, traditional music.
They say we have a one-string instrument called karara, you know, masinko, and we have karara string instruments. These are handmade instruments.
To me, traditional music is a music that is rich.
When we talk about traditional music, what do we really mean? When there is music, there's all kinds and sorts of instruments that are used. Of course, in secular music, hip-hop, stylish. And when we talk about traditional music, there's a lot I'm sure we can talk about. So tonight, we'll discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show my colleagues, John Tanza from the South Sudan Service. Welcome back, John.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Okay,
Sunday.
And again, Paul Ndiho.
Thank you for having me again.
Paul, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
And our guest, Ibrahim A. Max, a musician, a writer, and a poet, and also a fashionista. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me today.
Okay. Our topic tonight, traditional music. Well, in some cultures, they will tell you, this is our culture and this is our music. In some African cultures, the drum is everything. Without the drum beat, there is no music. So, I discussed this with DJ Fatsu, a famous DJ in DC, and also my colleague, and I wanted to know his take in traditional music.
We used to play traditional music, but then pop music came and took over. But now we're back again. Like, for example, I'm from the Ethiopian community. We used to play pop music, but now people are getting back to the traditional music. Traditional music mixed with new vibes. So it's kind of mixed now.
So it's like a mixed new thing going on between traditional music and the updated music that we all know, the pop and everything else.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, do you think that maybe there hasn't been a lot of attention given to the traditional music amongst our communities, maybe?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why we are like this, but like mostly in Africa or in some parts of the world, people doesn't concentrate on their traditional music. They better concentrate on other music, like Western music. And I think I don't know. Like it might be a cultural crisis. Or, maybe the Western music is more promoted. You can hear it everywhere. And maybe that's why.
Maybe that's one reason. And once one person I spoke to said maybe parents are the one to say that we can put the blame on because they don't tell their children.
Not really. Not parents. But, like, it's the age, you know. It's the time that we are in. Is more commercialized music, like more, you know, music that we listen to are like for example, when you listen to the radio, you listen like 24/7 almost the same songs, and people like the record companies and the distribution companies are forcing people to play those musics in the radio stations, on the TV, everywhere. Like for example, when you go to Atlanta, a radio DJ has to play a song that the radio DJ has selected for him, even if he wants to play in other clubs and everywhere out of the radio station, because they are already sold to one record label. Let's say Sony paying one radio station too much money, mm-hmm. So they play only songs that are released by Sony. So you see the cultural, like the control over...
So it's the business coming into the music.
Yeah, the control, yeah.
Wow. What do you think? Is there a way that traditional music can make its waves and grow? Because we have seen musicians like Yusuf Ndu doing their own traditional music, and it's getting a lot of attention, and they're well-known worldwide.
Yeah, when you have a traditional music, it's always like, it's a new thing. Like, you know everything, like all the pop music and everything, you know it. But like when you come up with your own music, your own instruments, your own traditional things, then you're bringing new thing to the music industry. So it makes it unique. Like, for example, Ethiopians have a lot of instrumentals that are like, let's say we have a one string instrument called karar, you know, masinko, and we have karar string instruments. These are handmade instruments. So okay. If we can mix them with, you know, even like good beats, right, and like work with them, yeah, it's a new thing. People use, like, some producers use, like, they use Ethiopian traditional music in their music, and also some use, like, for example, they use Indian music,
right,
to mix with hip hop, and you don't get too much money with traditional music or traditional instruments. So if you don't want money, yeah.
If you don't want money, who doesn't? Okay.
Thank you, DJ Fatsu. This is Let's Talk with your host, Sunday Shomari, and we are discussing traditional music. Now, back to the studio. Studio guys, it's all men today. I don't know what happened. The ladies are not here, but hopefully we'll have them later. But let me start with
you. You're not
being
Jada sensitive, my friend.
I guess. Okay. Let me start with you, my friend John Tanza. You have an experience from South Sudan, from Nairobi, from Tanzania, and other places in Africa. You know about African music, and especially when we talk about traditional music. To you, when you discuss about traditional music, what are you really looking into?
Sunday, music is a universal language.
Okay.
It appeals to people from across the divide, from across cultures. So I preferably listen to a lot of music from the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's because I understand the language, I understand the message. And to me, traditional music is a music that is rich in its own style, in its own outreach, in its own language. And it doesn't matter where that music is coming from. Even the music that we listen from the West, it's a traditional music of the people of the West. The jazz, the country, and reggae. Reggae is a traditional music of Jamaica.
Right.
So to me, traditional music is a music that is confined to a certain group of people, to a certain tradition.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ibrizi,
yes,
a writer, a songwriter. You like music, you do music every day.
Yeah.
When you look at yourself doing some music, I think you're doing mostly hip-hop, but when we talk about traditional African music, where it's your roots,
mm-hmm,
what do you think about and what comes into your mind?
It's basically letting you in into their culture and what they believe in. So it's like you're reading a book about a subject, and slowly when you get to understand what the book is saying, then you feel more comfortable and you get more interested in knowing more about that certain topic that they're talking about. And I think that's what traditional music is. Traditional music is letting you in a world that you do not know. And then once you get to know that world, then you want more and more and more, because you want to learn more and more and more about that specific tradition or culture or country or roots or ways.
Okay. So that means you cannot separate culture, traditional music, and our culture in our maybe daily life. Maybe to you, Mr. Paul Ndiho, coming all the way from Uganda, probably there's a lot of different music you've learned about, but you know there's this particular tradition that you can say this is traditional music in Uganda. And when you talk about it, you feel it. What is it so much about that music for you?
First of all, let me echo my colleague's statements here who are saying that personally, I think traditional music is something that tends to resonate with a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. Every culture might have a totally different way of looking at traditional music, or how they sing, or how they use their drums. But at the end of the day, I think music across the world transcends borders, transcends cultures. If a drum starts beating here, whether you're from China, whether you're from Uganda or Kenya or Tanzania, mm-hmm, you just stand up and dance. So I think music
in a way, brings us together.
Yeah.
It's a universal language, just like what John Tanza was saying. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's your take. So one thing I also want to learn here, and I said, with traditional music, I remember growing up listening to reggae music, listening to the drum beat. That's where I heard and learned that, you know what? African traditional music has always to have that drum beat. And that drum is unique on its own style. Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shumari, in our Washington studio with John Tanza, Paul Ndiho, and Ibrahim Amax, a.k.a. Ibrizi.
Yes, sir.
Right now, we're discussing traditional music. Well, some individuals from whether the mountain Kilimanjaro in Africa to the Sahara Desert north of Africa have their own traditional music using several different instruments. And I learned that every particular area, you can find a specific unique tone to that music. If you listen to people from Eritrea, they have their own flute. If you listen to Tanzanian music, or maybe Kenyan music, or Uganda, East Africa, they have their own way. My friend John was mentioning the Lingala from Congo. They have their own style, especially the dancing and the guitar. The way they do it is just their own way. So I spoke to my colleague Grace Alheri, and I wanted to know, is it parents to blame here if their children are not aware of traditional music?
I want to believe that we are not doing a good job. When I say we, I mean parents and older generations are not doing well in terms of keeping this culture alive. Mm. So all these cultures are lost. So the music, of course.
And the music is getting along. We are losing our culture with along with our music.
Of course, let me tell you, even I was telling you about folktales,
mm-hmm.
that even almost every story has a song, goes with a song.
Okay.
After, on.
And what does that mean? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay. But let me tell you another. It's folktale, but Englishianized, if I may say.
Okay.
So that has an English version of a song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the simple story was somebody using flowers, and he went to the remote, the farm, looking for flowers, and mm-hmm. then he got better flowers, and because in that village they use flowers as tissue paper. And the king wanted flowers, and all the flowers around, were gone. And so they have to be sending people to get flowers in remote areas for the king to use as a tissue paper. And then this man went, and he got better flowers, and the other person went and didn't get flowers. So he decided to kill him and bring the flowers so he can get to marry the king's daughter.
Oh.
And so he turned into a skeleton, and then somebody was just walking and those stumbled on the skeleton, picked it up, and he said, oh, dear brother, don't touch my bones again. My brother killed me in the bush and took my flower away. Oh dear brother, don't touch my bones again. So anyway, at the end of it all, the old woman will tell you the lesson behind that story is that you should not be wicked, that no matter what you do, eventually it will come hunting you.
Right.
You'll be found out. Be careful, your sins will find you out.
Okay.
So simply, that's what happens.
And you see now, you came with this wonderful song that, as you say, most of our children today have no idea.
Of course.
Because all they know is what is out there, the secular hip-hop. Mm-hmm. What about African roots?
Yeah, so you see, my son right now is, I don't want to say he's a musician, but mm-hmm. he's interested in music, and he sings, and he raps, and he writes his songs, and he composes his songs, and produces his songs, and so on and so forth. Okay, so playing this song for those of us growing up, when they say change your style, do be like that, you say where you are, change your style, be like that, you pose and say the way you are. So that's what we're talking about. If we can make our children appreciate mm-hmm. the songs we used to listen to, the music, their background, that, you know, so they can, even if they want to westernize, they can still bring their culture
exactly.
into it. And so they appreciate and they don't forget home. So that's what we're talking about.
A reminder, tonight on Let's Talk, we are discussing traditional music. Back to you guys. What do we learn? If we have in our families, our children, when we talk about the traditional, let's say, South Sudan music, or the North African music, or the Jamaican music, as John, you said, do we have this rich culture? Because culture maybe and music cannot be separated. Can we separate this? And if not, do we really make sure it goes to the other generation?
Music is an expression of culture.
Okay.
You know, each community have their own culture, and they express it in many ways, in the way they dress, in their food, in the way they interact with people. So music is part of culture. And so I know you're coming to the point where the generation today will say the music we listen to is old school. But, you know, I tell them the music that you listen to is your test. What I listen to is my test. So when you look at culture, there's no culture that is good and there's no culture that is bad. So that needs to be brought to the attention of some of our kids who think that when you listen to Franco, you're old school.
Old school,
come on, man. They say, what are you listening to? This guy is boring. 18 minutes of one track? But they don't know the message that you're getting from the music.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe Breezy is one of these people, because Breezy, you're this new generation kind of guys here. You have your own music that is mostly rap and hip-hop.
Yeah.
So when it comes to this traditional music, my friend, do you really try to resonate with it at all? Does it come to your mind that, you know what, maybe I can do this kind of music?
To me, I think traditional music is another level of music. Not everybody can do traditional music. So that's why a lot of musicians, it's not like a lot of musicians do not want to go towards that way and do music, but that type of music. But it's just that they don't want to misrepresent the trend, the concept of that type of music. That's why you find a lot of people that do traditional music are in depth with what's going on with our generation as well, as far as the musician that, you know, the type of musician that I am. And they are staying in depth with what they have going on. So I would definitely like, you know, once get to, I feel, when I feel like I am ready to get to that point to do traditional music, to show people that, you know, a musician is a musician that's supposed to do all kind of music and just not one type of music.
When you look at Africa is what? We have over 2,000 different languages. So mm-hmm. each and every tribe in Africa has a unique culture. So the only way we can keep that alive is to figure out a way of trying even maybe to teach our young people mm-hmm. that this is part of our culture. This music is played in this part of Kenya. this music is played in this part of Nigeria, so that the young people can also know when they are asked, oh, what's like the root of hip-hop? Where did hip-hop come from? Then you trace it back, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think at the end of the day, it's the onus is on us as Africans to look forward to the future by teaching the younger generation.
But that is a tall order, Paul. You know, one thing I would like to think about is this. That today I want to perform a traditional Baganda song in America. I have to bring a drum from Africa.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And that drum, when you bring it here at the airport, they will think you brought some juju inside it. They check you up and down. They check you properly. You instead of checking out of the airport in like 20 minutes, it will take you 3 hours. They want to see what the hell is in that thing, you know? And the xylophone, and, you know, the instrument itself.
Yeah.
African music is rich.
Mm-hmm.
The instruments are so many. For guys like my friend here, everything is put in the piano.
In
you touch the piano, it gives you all the keys that you want. But, you know, it is a little bit challenging for us to bring our kids and up to speed. To, you know, start singing in a way that is unique, because our instruments are not easy to get. You know, like my culture, we use like 7-8 drums. Now, if I'm supposed to bring that, that's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. We use some of them are from the skin of an elephant. That is a crime. They say you killed an animal to make this drum come. Man, what do you mean? Yeah? People who are against, you know, they will think you are crude to the nature. You brought all this. I mean, this is what it is. So let's face it. And the other challenge is a lot of these young kids. I'm impressed that Idrizi can speak good Swahili without an accent.
Right.
In fact, when I was chatting with him, I thought he came from Tanzania yesterday, but he told me he was born here. He grew up here. Some of our kids forgot. We have not taught them
our traditional language. You're coming language. To what is Paul's point.
We have not taught them
parents,
our traditional language.
Parents are not doing what they are supposed
so
to be doing.
So what do you expect? They will sing in English. They will sing in English. And you cannot blame them.
Yeah, but that's their culture because they are born here. That's unless if we take them back to our roots.
But not only that, Paul, we have people like what Breezy was talking about. We have people who visit here who have like born and raised in Africa.
Mm.
And if you tell them what a marimba is, for instance, which is a very traditional instrument in Tanzania, they won't even tell you. They don't even know what it is.
Mm.
So it's not even those who are just like born and raised in the US or Europe or whatever, but even those in Africa, we have children who have no idea about the rich traditional music that the Africans do have.
Mm.
Because all they know is what John is saying is going to the studio and press a computer button and get whatever sound they want.
They use
and just
loop.
Rap on top of it, right?
I think it's a good thing to encourage our, you know, our neighbors, our friends, everybody else around us within our circle to be curious, you know, because curiosity will lead to so many. It could lead to so many good things, you know. Whereby a lot of people, if you ask them, a lot of people that I know, if you ask them, okay, you like to do hip-hop, tell me more about hip-hop, where is hip-hop from? And they will be able to let you know hip-hop is coming from New York. So why can't we as Africans try to do the same thing as far as encourage our friends, our kids, or anybody that's around to feel like it's okay to know more about traditional music. Because a lot of times what happens is that when someone knows about that specific kind of stuff, we feel like, oh, that guy is boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Like what they told you with the Franco music.
Yeah, they say it's old school. Boring. But then if you find a way to interact with the person that calls you boring, the only reason why the person is calling you boring is because he doesn't know as much as what you know. So you have to find a way to bring him in, you know, make it interesting for him. Try to mix up the stuff that he knows with the stuff that you know, and then at the end of the day, you'll find out that the guy that you're telling that was calling you boring is actually finding you interesting because he didn't have the information that you had. But now that he has it, he will leave you and go to the next person and try to inform him about what you told him. So I think it's the way that we have to find a way to approach people with this traditional stuff.
Okay.
In a way whereby it's we make it much more interesting than it is. Not that it's not interesting, but for the people that are not or haven't had a chance to go back to their roots or their culture, to make it much more interesting for them, to encourage them to want to know more.
I think Ibrisa makes a very good point here. I think when you look at it, earlier you talked about like reading a book, right? So I think also music, maybe I'm going to use a different analogy this time around. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use food. You go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The reason people keep going to a restaurant, it's because the chefs in that restaurant keep changing the menus. Yes. They use different things to spice up the food, different things to do a presentation. So even when it comes to music or culture, I think that's an approach that we could use. But if somebody told you that that restaurant is bad, you're not going to go there. So even with music, I think we can use that kind of approach to say, hey, I like this song. Where does it come from? How did it come to, you know? So you use an approach where you're like, you're saying, okay, let me go and listen to these people. Because I find myself actually attending these cultural events that happen here when people come from all over Africa. It doesn't matter where they are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I end up going to the fairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a presentation, if it's a cultural dance, I end up spending money to go watch them. Why? Because it reminds me of where I come from. It reminds me of my people
mm-hmm.
in a village. So that's how I look at it.
I grew up in a village. I normally tell Sunday.
Yeah,
I wasn't brought up in the town, you know. So my father used to take me to occasions, funerals and, you know, celebrations, harvest. And I became very keen in observing how these guys actually start dancing. You know, first of all, if you're supposed to arrive there at around 12 midday, people come at their own time. Some people come at 12, some come at 4, at 5. But
African time?
Yes. The starting African point time, here is people all start charging their brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their drinks and everything. And there's one guy who will just woke up and start singing. And another guy goes to grab the drum. And they make the music.
And that's fun.
And after one hour or two, the whole crowd is dancing. And that's it until morning. And that's how African music is. They say the brain has to be having something so that you can...
So you can...
You don't have a script.
No, it doesn't have a script.
Yeah, when it comes to African
music, have a script.
No script, you just go and do your thing. Thank you. Hold this right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours, 30 universal time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. It's time now for the unusual story of the week.
Some people will do anything for a free phone. Though killing 60 rats to get one seems pretty extreme. But so does the rat problem in the area of Johannesburg, South Africa, known as Alexandra. The neighborhood's crumbling structures, leaking sewage, and discarded piles of rotting food are perfect breeding grounds for rats. Things are so bad that some children have had their fingers bitten off while they sleep. That is why a local charity called Lifeline is sending a message that is loud and clear. Bring in 60 rats and you'll get a new cell phone. The phones are supplied by a local cell phone company and are given out to people who rat out the required ration of rodents.
Thanks, and that's it for show on traditional music. Thanks to my colleagues. My guest today was DJ Fatsu from the Horn of Africa Service and Grace and Harry from the Hausa Service. And also thanks to my colleagues, Paul Ndiho from the English to Africa Service.
Thank you for having me.
And John Tunza from South Sudan.
Thank you, Sunday. But I must say, this music is like food.
Perfect. And thank you, Ibrahim Amax, for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Right. And Jackson Vungani is our producer. And as usual, send in your comments and story ideas. We love to hear from you. Washington, this is Sunday Shumari. See you next Monday. Ciao.